Welcome to the ThinkComputer's Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 125. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org / Amazon and buy your crap there. It helps us out, helps pay for the podcast, you know, the drill. Everybody is talking about this Amazon thing, so just do it, help us out. With us this week, as always, is Bob. What's up, Bob? How you doing?
What's up, man? I'm almost over the CES sickness, so...
Yeah, you sound like you got it a little bit still.
Yeah, I think that all of us... I think all of us get, like, at least a little bit sick each year. I don't think there's been a year where I have, like, survived.
Yeah, you get it. You got at least a little something. This year, you got it pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I survived CES week.
Yeah.
And then... this past week, I was just done. I was down for the count. I think I slept for 2 days straight. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I thought I was out of the clear this year and just didn't happen. I'm just, as you guys can probably hear, I'm just slowly getting over it. But we're here to talk about tech, and I'm excited to talk about CES because we didn't do the podcast last week because we were just recovering from CES and then still getting a bunch of content up. So there's just a lot to talk about this week, and I'm pretty pumped to do it because we haven't done the podcast in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks now.
Yeah, so excited, and let's just jump right in. Before we get into CES stuff, we'll talk about some reviews and some case mod stuff. So first thing is your review of the Corsair H150i Pro. That is a liquid CPU cooler, and that launched at CES, and you actually had it for a while before CES. So tell us a little bit about Corsair's new liquid CPU cooler.
Yeah, so the H150i Pro RGB is the new cooler. It's actually quite different from previous coolers, which I was surprised and pleased with. They've upgraded both the pump and in this case they put a new radiator on it. I think they upgraded the whole line of radiators to a better radiator, but they specifically, this one is the H150i is a 360mm radiator. So that's the largest size radiator they've ever done in an AIO, and it actually turns out really well for them because this thing performed quite admirably. I believe it is our top performer. It's been a little while since I wrote this. Let me go double check. You remember, Bob? Is this the top performer?
I believe it's the top performer, yes.
Yep, it is. Yeah, a good amount, actually. By 3 degrees Celsius. Yeah. So that's actually pretty impressive. So the work that they've done in the interim between the previous model obviously paid off. Aside from just pure performance, which it excels at, it's a much smaller pump head, so that's nice. The pump body and everything is almost half the size.
Oh, wow.
of previous. Yeah, so it's very unobtrusive, and it's stylish. And of course, this is RGB, so they've got an RGB ring built into it, and the Corsair logo on the top lights up RGB as well. It's diffused, so it's not like super bright. They're kind of subdued tones then, and it's a little bit limited. That was one of the things that I found a little. It's cool that it has it, but it's a little disappointing in that it doesn't live up to, say, the Krakens with the Infinity Mirror on theirs and other things that we've seen. So, well, it's nice. It doesn't quite. It just doesn't fill the case with light, I guess, is the thing. It's a good little additional bit, but that's about it. It is nice that it works with a new version of Corsair Link, which is their all-inclusive software for monitoring and adjusting settings, so you can change profiles and stuff within that software. You can change the lighting and everything. There's a few different light modes you can check out. The new version of Link is actually quite nice compared to the previous versions. I found it to be clunky in the past. They've got a nice skin setup, a couple of different skins, and then you can easily tab through stuff. It's all pretty easy. All the settings are pretty easy to find. Let's see, what else about this cooler? No Corsair. A big part of this specific cooler is the 0 RPM setting, which allows it. We all know 0 RPM from your graphics cards, where it actually shuts the fans off when they're not needed, which is really nice because they're usually pretty annoying. One of the louder parts of the case. Well, this does the same thing with the fans on your AIO. It shuts them off when it's, you know, you're idle or whatever, and it works well. even when with these fans set in performance mode, I didn't find it to be loud at all. So it's a nice set of fans, nice cooler. The fit and finish is nice. They made some minor tweaks to the installation process, which has made it even easier than it was before. I give it a 10 out of 10. I give it the editor's choice. It's a nice cooler.
And it's what? It's 169, correct?
Yes, yes.
That's not bad at all. I mean, for a 360 mil AIO, that's not really bad at all. We've seen ones in that range be like 199, something like that.
Yeah. It's a great price.
I think that, you know, a lot of people are looking for like the crazy RGB, but I really like that Corsair kind of went back and you said, you know, change the fans, change the radiator, change the pump design, change the mounting design. Like, those are things that are actually functional and actually obviously help towards cooling rather than have it all blinged out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So
I think I prefer that over having like a cool RGB feature. You know what I mean?
Yeah, certainly. I felt like they could have done better, like the light, you know, it's a diffuser, so the lights emanate from inside and then they go through like a hazy plastic.
Yeah,
I think I would have gone with something that let the light through a little easier. Is all.
Okay.
I guess is my point. Because it really just it brings it down quite a bit. So yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll see another RGB version with RGB fans.
That was one thing I was thinking. Just throw some RGB fans in there, and as we kind of saw at CES, that's probably on the way.
Yeah. I think that will be the plan. But I think it's good. Like I said, Corsair is probably one of the top brands known for their AIOs, and it's really it's nice to see them kind of change, like make significant changes in areas that affect performance more than anything. So it's really cool to see, and 360 millimeter AIO from Corsair, first one, so very awesome.
Yeah.
But this series is available in what, 120, 240, 280, and 360?
Yeah.
Nice. So you basically have a whole lineup of this new series. So if you are looking to get an AIO, this would definitely be one that we would recommend based on performance of this cooler. So definitely. Yeah,
yep.
Definitely,
and we'll be checking out the 280 version as well, which is the 115i Pro.
Nice.
We're just working through some kinks on that one.
Nice. So we'll be, in the next few weeks, we'll be able to kind of tell you if the performance is kind of good across the line. So that'd be nice.
Yep, exactly.
Yes. So we'll move on to some Case Mount stuff. We did do a gallery of the best Case Mounts we saw at CES. We usually do this gallery every year, and this year was no exception. We saw some cool stuff.
I think we got a lot more this year, even.
Yeah, there was a lot of cases.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did notice, we only saw a few scratch mods, right?
Uh-huh, yep.
I think scratch mods were big last year and the year before, but this year I think that a lot of companies wanted to show off their cases, right? So they didn't want a whole lot of like scratch mods. We saw one at Zotac and maybe a couple others, but...
The one Destiny one at Zotac, which was really popular. If you're a fan of Destiny, this thing was pretty off the hook there. That one was one of those, like, what do we try to call them, like theme builds, kind of, where like it's like it had like dirt and stuff scattered around the base of it.
Yeah,
it was pretty done out there. What other ones can you think of that were scratch build though?
None of them, because everything was based off a case.
Yeah, the Well, this was still basically just the Thermaltake case. But there was the Audi one.
I was just going to say, that one was my favorite mod that I saw, I believe. Okay.
It was really good. Little passive aluminum radiators to actually like act as the radiators in the Audi or whatever. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. It's cool. I love seeing mods at CES. It's something that's become really popular over the past 3 or 4 years, and seeing all these modders that we cover every week, and now to, you know, have their builds at CES is really, really cool.
Yeah. Highly enjoyable part. And you get to see a lot of these guys too, so that's cool.
Yeah, a lot of them are there.
You see their mods, but you actually see the guys, so.
Yeah, very, very cool. So We have that, and this week we have an amazing build for Case Mod Friday called Zeus 2.0, and it is done by the guys at Case Labs, which I don't think we've ever featured a build that they specifically have done, right?
I don't think we have.
And this is done in their Magnum SMA 8A revision, which was just announced before the new year. And it has a lot of new features, and a lot of those new features are showcased here in this build. I think that's what this build's for, and I just love this build. One, it's in a Case Labs case, which is going to look amazing.
Yeah. A good place to start.
Two, the colors I love. It's like a aqua kind of
blue. Yeah, the cool one is aqua blue, and got then they used a purple LED in there along with blue LEDs to set off the backlighting, because it has that that white acrylic that lights up. You light it up from behind.
Yeah, so it has
in the base plate and the back plate.
Yeah, it has that mid plate. That's actually you can get with part with this case. And it looks awesome.
What are these reservoirs?
That's the thing. I noticed the reservoirs. What's they're that? More. They're more of a square shape than a circle shape, and I found that incredibly interesting and different.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen them.
Which looks really, really cool. The clear tubing looks amazing.
The clear hard tubing is really well done. It just kind of loops between this. It's just three little loops, five sections, and then it's out.
Yeah, dual graphics cards. The wiring is amazing. This is just like, and again, besides the hard tubing bending, there's not a whole lot of modding here. Again, this is really just to show off the case, but I think it's just so elegantly done. It just looks amazing. And again, those different reservoirs really kind of set this case off, I think.
Yeah, they're really large, and just the shape and the clarity of the acrylic on them is really good too. They might even be actual glass. Really clear.
Yeah, it's just a nice build and an amazing case.
Mm-hmm. Was this at CES? Because they were actually at CES for the first time ever this year.
We didn't see them, so I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. Might be why they built it, though.
Yeah. But it's definitely, we see this with all case manufacturers, at least most of them, is that they obviously, when they have a big case launch, they commission a few builds. So for these guys to do it themselves, pretty awesome.
And it just goes to show the company that you're working with, they're buying a product from, they're involved, right? They're in the industry, they're doing the mods themselves. It's not just, you know, somebody trying to capitalize on a certain market segment. These guys are case builders, they're modders.
And they're very knowledgeable about their product to be able to do something like this. So very awesome. Love this build. Definitely one you guys should check out. So definitely check that out, and that will bring us to CES. And I do have to say, this year was—I wouldn't say boring, right? Because I don't think CES is ever boring, but there just wasn't there wasn't a lot.
There wasn't a lot in the way of like that new that you're looking for. And there was like, I don't even know if there was anything like earth shattering. Usually there's something where you're I can't believe that they can make that.
Yeah. So for us in the component space, we're in between graphics card launches on both AMD and Nvidia side. Yeah. We're in between CPU launches on both AMD and Intel side. So we have, nothing there. There wasn't any new breakthrough technology that's going to be used in anything to do with components, right? It's all the same.
Yep.
So I think for me, the coolest thing that I saw was the Aorus X470 motherboard, and they were the only company that showed one.
Yeah. And at least we saw. Actually, I didn't see anything in the news either. So
yeah. So Aorus, they didn't really have it on display, but they took it out of a drawer. And they showed us an X470 motherboard. So that is going to be Zen Plus coming from AMD. And, it, you know, again, while this was really cool to see, there's not a whole lot of changes you're going to see with this revision from AMD as far as the chipset goes.
Right.
The board itself looked awesome. I think that this will be where you're going to see some really awesome board designs for AMD. I think that Ryzen originally had some good ones, but there was a lot of kinks, and I think a lot of companies kind of tested the waters to see what sales would be like, if people are really going to jump on AMD, and I think a lot of people did. So this time around, we'll see a full lineup from every major manufacturer, and it looks like Aorus is going to be leading that pack, already showing off a board that was 99. I mean, it was done. This board is done.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a working model if we would have had a chip.
Yeah. So
I think, too, that driving that same back to the, are people going to adopt AMD? A good sign for board manufacturers, whether to go AMD or not, is the trouble that Intel is actually having right now. So,
yeah.
And AMD is not in the hot seat for these latest security issues. And you know, Intel's even having a hard time getting them patched. So AMD is a pretty safe bet, and hopefully that drives some money and talent into the motherboard development for these parts.
Yeah, and the thing that was cool, you know, is that this board was the first X470 that we even ever saw.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any leaks or anything like that about...
There hasn't been any mention of it.
Anything. So, and like, again, to see... Usually we see, like, a prototype board or board that's, like, not even remotely close to being completed. Like, this was a full completed board, ready to go. So, it was the Aorus X470 Gaming 7 Wi-Fi, and that will be the highest... At least to start, what they told us will be the highest X470 board from Aorus. Fully loaded out with RGBs, of course. A lot of really cool features on there. As far as the chipset goes, you will get an extra M.2, which is nice. Most boards had one. Now you'll have two here, which is really cool. And the backplate, or the rear I/O cover is integrated into the motherboard. We've seen that from a lot of other boards. You'll have that here too, which is cool.
And it just makes sense. The way they're building the shield for the rear I/O, you might as well have the cover built in.
Yeah, and there's a power button back there, which is something you don't typically see. Excuse me. And there's a BIOS reset back there, but you can actually change that now to a regular reset. You can just switch that up in the BIOS. So really good looking board. I like I said, to see this already and they just like were kind of like nonchalant about it was kind of interesting.
They're like, do you want to see this? Yeah, of course we want to see that.
Yeah, we haven't
we
seen
actually
any
don't want
any...
to see really any of your other stuff.
Yeah. So I think that was the highlight in the component space. I don't know if there was something for you that really stood out.
Let me throw a few things out, because there was, like we said, there wasn't one standout product, but I got a few things that I think are worth, like, highlighting.
For sure.
AlphaCool, just doing a lot of support for modders. They got some kits coming out, which was pretty cool. Some new AIOs and some new blocks as well, so... they're doing well in that segment, and it's just good to see them like really supporting the mod segment. Worth checking their stuff out. Let's see, Cherry's got a new low profile switch, which is interesting.
Oh, I did forget about that.
So that's just low profile, but it still has the full range of switch types that are going to be available.
Microphone
right?
Muted.
And it was pretty functional. Like it felt pretty good. We liked that switch a lot when we checked it out. Hopefully we'll have a board to check out with that
microphone
switch
activated.
Soon. Fantex is teamed up with Seasonic, very good name to be teamed up with, to build power supplies. They have a power supply that can be split to run two systems simultaneously without any sort of like dropout issues. If one system's down, the other keeps running, et cetera, et cetera. And then they can still be run standalone. So in, you know, their platinum power supplies, they really look really good. So that's a really interesting piece. If like that dual system thing applies to you, I think it applies to a lot of like streamers who have a stream system running at the same time as their main. Though yeah. Fantex is really, you know, doing what they can in that segment there. The NZXT motherboard is certainly an item of contention. It's very interesting. Their very first motherboard. There's a lot of opinions either way as to whether it should be purchased or not. But it at least, I think we can all say that, well, most people can say that hands down, it at least looks really good.
Yes. Right? Yes, I have one.
Yep.
So I, home. Yes, I think that if anybody's, we had talked about it all week when we saw it, and it was a surprise to both of us.
Yeah, no, that was not what we thought we were going to see when we went to the NZXT yeah. suite.
And, you know, I think people will buy it.
I certainly think people will buy it. Absolutely.
I think that NZXT has that brand loyalty, and they have that segment of people who want their PC to look a certain way. They have a full range of products that are built into that motherboard, which makes things very convenient.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, and they have their whole build thing as well, which kind of brings everything together besides a few components now.
Which is the custom PC build
yes.
shop, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I do like that they've baked their RGB controller as well as their fan controller into the motherboard. That is really cool.
It had a ton of fan headers.
Yeah, I believe it had 9.
Yeah.
On there.
You could almost say excessive.
Yeah. So all of that is baked into the board itself, which is really cool.
Which means you get CAM software support for everything, essentially.
Yeah, and CAM software support for overclocking now on your CPU.
Oh, yeah, that as well. Forgot about that.
You know, so they're doing a lot of good things. We know the board is being made by ECS, which
is... That's probably the biggest downside.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though, you know that it's not NZXT trying to build their first board, right?
Yeah, so that's a good thing. I mean, yeah. ECS, while they're not big in the enthusiast space, really.
Yeah, at all.
You know, they are a company who's been making motherboards for a long time.
They even made high-end boards at one point, so.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something to see. Like I said, we have the board. We're going to test it and see what it does. I think that for people who are familiar with CAM and like the functionality and ease of use, it could be the way to go. And the board looks amazing inside an NZXT case.
For me, it's the fact that it's like, it's the only motherboard that's like a blank slate for your mod, right? Doesn't do anything to like that detracts from whatever theme you're going with. So,
yeah.
And then it still has all that armor that you can paint. So if you do want it to be a part, you can make it a part. So
yeah. So yeah. So I think that was really cool. I totally forgot about that. That was like the first or second day. I was like,
yeah. Early on.
Yeah. So there was that, and then HyperX had their RGB modules. If you remember, I don't know if you guys do remember. That HyperX did show us RGB DDR4 last year, but it never came out.
And I don't remember seeing it.
We always wondered, like, where was it? Because we saw Corsair come out. We saw G-Skill. We saw everybody come out with RGB modules over the past year, but HyperX didn't. And we were like, where are these modules? Because we saw them. They seemed to work. But the issue, and they wanted to solve this issue, was that it happens with every module, at least every modules that I reviewed, that are RGB, is that when you start your PC, the modules, whatever thing they're doing, whatever effect, the RGB effect, it will go out of sync. It just will, right?
Because it's based on the timings of the RAM.
Yeah.
Yep.
And HyperX decided to solve this problem by putting an IC in each of the... modules that keeps them in sync, and it's really cool. They were able to show this by putting a small card in between a set of the modules, and you'll see when you put that card there, they go out of sync. But when you don't, they're all in sync, and it's a way to, like, if you're really concerned about the way your PC looks, and all that kind of stuff. This is really cool. And we didn't get a word on pricing, I don't believe, or availability yet.
I think, but, didn't they mention that was because they're waiting to see what happens with RAM prices?
Yeah, yeah. But the kits look great. I think they look really good. I think that knowing that they're going to be fully in sync is a good thing. I don't know if they have a patent on this, because I assume if this is like free and open technology, that we'll see everybody kind of follow suit.
Yeah, or at least start thinking along this line, trying to get the lighting in sync, because there's got to be other options for this as well.
Yeah.
The biggest limitation to this type of design is it is line of sight, so you can only get the four dims that are next to each other to do it. So if you're on X299, the two sides will probably end up being different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it works really well. It's flawless as far as putting the card in, taking the card out, putting it back in. It goes in sync, leaves sync, goes back in sync. It's pretty. I never saw it fail.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool. I hopefully we'll see those this year. Again, HyperX showed us RGB memory last year, and it just didn't come out. So hopefully we see that. We did see a few interesting mice and mouse pad combos. We saw one from Razer, one from Mad Catz, who is back, which was a cool thing to see at the show as well.
Indeed, they are.
Did we see another one? I thought we saw three.
I think that those were the only two.
Okay, I think there might have been somebody else that had one, but
as far as the wireless,
yes. So it's wireless mouse and a mouse pad that charges the mouse, but there's no battery in the mouse. And the way that works is there's a capacitor in there
that gives you a fairly large capacitor.
Yeah, that gives you your power. And the reason for this is because if you put a battery in your mouse that's going to be constantly being charged, it makes the mouse heavy. And if you're an FPS gamer, I'm an FPS gamer, that just makes it, it you just don't want a heavy mouse. I don't like a heavy mouse. Yeah. A lot of people don't.
If anything, you want an adjustable weight.
Yeah, so that is kind of the way around it. And we've, like I said, Razer's doing it, and Mad Catz is doing it. And I like the idea. We played with the Razer one for a little bit and the Mad Catz one. I need one to test, I think, and really play with it. But I do like it. I think that a lot of things, more things are going wireless, and we have the technology and the speed now where it's not a huge issue when you're gaming.
Yeah. I think that the wireless, the power delivery system, it worked flawlessly on both of them. Mm-hmm. A lot of which one is better for you is going to come down to mouse feel. I believe the Mad Catz one had a larger capacitor because it held charge for, I would say, twice, maybe even further than twice as long as the Razer one. But they both worked exactly how they were supposed to. It held the charge for a little bit so you could lift and move without actually having the mouse die on you. Yep. And then you bring it back in the zone, and you're charging again.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought those were something cool we saw at CES. We saw the new Intel NUC.
Yes, we did.
Which, if you guys aren't familiar, is a next level of computing, or next unit of computing, I'm sorry. Basically, it's Intel's new mini PC, or it's their mini PC that they've had out for a while now. And we saw the new Hades Canyon, which is their high performance one. It's based on Kaby Lake G, which uses Intel CPU cores and AMD Radeon GPU cores.
This might be the biggest news as far as processor tech goes that we saw.
Yeah,
the whole show, because a lot of people were looking for this SoC to see what it could do at this show.
Yeah, and basically this will be one of the first products that uses Kaby Lake G. It's a perfect product for it. The Skull Canyon NUC, which came out in 2016, was extremely popular. It gave you basically a high performance piece. I don't know where you consider high performance, but for the size, a high performance
PC. I think it's
PC.
What a lot of people would call a high performance.
Yeah. Us enthusiasts, it wasn't like you know what I mean? But it gave you a high performance PC in a small form factor, for sure.
Right.
You know, I've reviewed a couple of the higher end Gigabyte bricks which are based on the same thing, and they'll do everything. Literally all in everything, including gaming, 1080p gaming,
right?
With you know, certain titles, not
depending,
obviously.
Yeah, depending on your settings and your titles. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did they say? They said GTX 1060 performance out of this.
Yeah,
one?
Yeah. So this new one with the Vega graphics in there will they said be right around GTX 1060 in something that's so small that it's just crazy that we can get this performance in such a small package.
Yeah, dare we call this the ultimate living room PC?
Oh, for sure. As far as size goes, yes.
Size goes, yeah.
Because this will be able to do all of, you know, all of those arcade games, all of any of your 4K transcoding, it will do as well, because the CPU has the power.
It also has a degree of expandability to it as well.
Yeah.
So I think that I feel that it does kind of maintain the PC moniker still from that perspective, because you can change out the memory. It uses SODIMM.
Yeah.
You can put different storage in it. It accepts M.2, so there's a lot you can do with it.
Yeah, so I think that this just takes, again, that super small form factor. We're not talking like box PC. We're talking like, you know, super, super small. I believe it's 20.1 liter. I believe it's 20.1 liter, which is super, super tiny.
Yeah.
And
what, maybe 8 inches long by 5 inches wide and a couple inches thick. So that's pretty small.
Yeah. So super, super small. And it just makes it easy for anybody to just this. You literally just plug this thing in and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Price
isn't actually bad either. The full featured version is only, it's just $999. Which might sound expensive, but I mean, for that package, the size package, and the performance, that's really not bad at all.
Yeah, no, it's not bad at all. So there'll be two different versions. The one version will be the fully unlocked SKU, which will have a 100 watt TDP, and that will feature the Core i7-8809G, and that is fully unlocked. And they did tell us that you could overclock not only the CPU but the GPU,
right?
On it, because they're obviously linked together, so you'll be able to do that. And then there'll be another one which is not unlocked. It's 65 watt TDP, featuring the Core i7-8705G, and that will be $799. Besides the processors, they're pretty much identical across the board, and you have a ton of connectivity on these, like a ton. I believe you can do up to seven or eight outputs. You have Thunderbolt 3.
Yep.
Type-C port, you have USB 3.1. There's HDMI on the front, so this will support VR.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be able to do that as well. So, yeah, I think for processor...
It'll do all right at VR, too, I think.
Yeah, I think it'll do... It's not going to be super crazy.
Not high-end, but yeah, it'll do all right.
And, yeah, so I think that this will be the next thing for somebody who just wants to plug something in and be ready to go, and something that's going to be smaller than a console.
Oh, and don't forget, you're getting HBM2 with this as well, so that's exciting just to own.
Derek's been wanting HBM2 for a long time, so
I don't think I'll ever own HBM2. It'll probably be a different iteration by the time it's like.
Yeah. Yes.
Plausible.
Yeah. So. That was really cool. We did see Lee is working on a new AIO, and you're obviously
That was pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah. So basically, it looks like your normal AIO. I believe it was a 280 they were showing.
I think so.
And one thing that was interesting is that it's hard for people to make AIOs that don't infringe on patents held by Asetek and a few other people.
Basically just Asetek.
Yeah. Who own all these patents. So what they have done is they've actually put the pump inside or on top of the radiator. Or like literally on top of it.
No, it was inside. But not how would they normally. Because we've seen this from, say, SwiftTech did it, right? Essentially.
Yeah.
First on the end and followed by a handful of others. But they put it into, instead of on the end in the reservoir chamber, they built it, the pump into, or they are building, because it was a prototype, into the fin space.
Yeah, so kind of
in the middle of it.
Yeah, and you think that might affect performance, but they said it's like right, it's set.
It's centered where the fan motor would be.
Yeah, which, you know, they can tell us it might not affect performance, but until we get one to test out, we'll have to see. But it was cool. And we did see a case from Lian Li, and the big thing is Lian Li is trying to go more affordable, but still keep that same Lian Li high-end feel, right?
Yeah, because they're known for their quality.
Yeah, so I think that that's a good thing. I think that Lian Li has always been aluminum only, and that's in this current market, and I think it's hard to sell $400, $500, $600 cases.
It's not just that. I mean, there is a market for the case model, right? But I think it's a matter of there is an enormous, much larger market segment they're isolating themselves from by only offering aluminum cases.
Yeah, so the case we saw was actually really nice.
Extremely well-designed.
Yeah, it's a PC011. And was it a mix of steel and... it was a mix of steel and aluminum, correct?
I want to say it was plastic.
Okay, it might have been. Okay, so it was steel and plastic.
If it is plastic, I want to say it was. It's very high quality in that it actually seemed like aluminum.
Yeah, it looked amazing. Tempered glass side panel, of course. Tons of room for cooling. And they said it was not even going to be more than, like, right around, 100?
We gotta have it in the article.
He made
a big deal of pointing it out.
Yeah. So there'd be two different versions. One's 119, one. Yeah, when they had asked us how much do you think this case would be, and I was like 189.
Yeah, and I guess high is very high as well.
Yeah, and so that's something to look forward to. I think they're kind of changing again how they view the case market, and I think they'll still offer their super high end designs, but for the, you know, mainstream buyers, they will have options which will have a lot of the same features you're going to get in high end cases, just without the super high end materials, which is nice.
Yeah, I think with this is the 011, by the way, and I think it's just they actually work with DeBauer to design this, which makes makes a big difference when you bring somebody in that is really, you know, has their finger on the pulse of what is needed. It's just so feature rich. It's a full tower. I didn't remember the liter size, but it's enormous. There's almost literally nothing you can't do with this case. And not only that, it's got like some of the smartest things, like the hard drive, like bay is accessed from the back of the case above the power supply.
Yep.
And it's just a simple little like panel you pop off and slide them in and out. It's just intelligent all around.
Yeah, I it's one of the better cases I think I saw at CES. So,
This is one that, and it's still such a like a stylish and compact design. It's not like some large full towers; they become kind of unwieldy. And I feel like this one still kept it within, you know, range. It kept things tidy.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that case was really good. At Inwin had a new case, but I honestly didn't like it as much as the tiny little A1.
The first case you're referring to was the one with the automated ventilation system?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It didn't do it for me.
No.
But they had an A1, which is their tiny little cube-style case made for mini ITX builds, and it just looks amazing. It still has a tempered glass side panel on it. You can fit a full-size graphics card inside. They're shipping it with a power supply, so you don't have to worry about finding an SFX power supply and all that. Comes in white and black. And they'll have a version that has a Qi charger on top, so if you want to charge your phone wirelessly, you can do that as well. I think this is, like, you can build a nice, sleek little PC. It could sit nicely in your desk with this one.
I think this is, like, man, this is the ultimate office kind of thing. If you can get the amount of power you need into it, it, like, your graphic designer is going to love this case, right?
Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
It is so small. It doesn't crush your desktop space, and it's so stylish, and it's functional still. It should have enough space for anything you need to do with it.
Yeah.
And I think if you could just go and mod it a little bit, you can probably throw a 280 red, like an AIO in the bottom of it if you really wanted to.
Yeah, if you modded that bottom. And, I mean, you can fit 5 fans in this thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
full-size GPUs, right?
Yep.
Yep. So there's no reason I wouldn't say why you couldn't fill your office with these.
Yeah, it's just an awesome little case. I love it. One of my favorite cases I saw at CES, so.
Might as well.
Yeah. So, I don't know if there's anything else that you really saw at CES that you wanted to talk about. I think we covered.
Well, there's the 2200 watt EVGA power supply. It's just worth mentioning.
Yeah.
It's too much power. You don't need it.
Yeah.
80 plus and platinum.
Yeah, and they couldn't even have it hooked up because it needs the 220 volts.
yeah, 220
but, watt. But obviously that's for mining, and
yeah.
If you're a power supply maker, you should be making those because people are buying them.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, that is probably it. Oh, one cool thing that we saw that I don't think we actually did an article for, man, that 8K Kingston setup that was really, it was showcasing their more enterprise PCI Express cards, right?
Yes.
But man, they had, what did he say, 1 of 6 Dell 8K monitors?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they were showing us Premiere running, you know, processing 8K footage. That thing was just incredible. What was that, like a $15,000, $20,000 PC?
Running, oh, yeah.
$15,000, $20,000 monitor.
Yeah, and the bottleneck was actually the CPU.
Right. Yeah,
which was a
dual Xeon.
Dual Xeon. So, yeah,
that's pretty
yeah, pretty crazy right there. But yeah, I think, like I said, this year a little subdued. But I think it did give us a chance to check out some other stuff and bring more focus to a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, if it's a GPU launch. You know, every GPU maker has 6 or 7 GPUs launching, or if it's a motherboard, you have the same thing.
We kind of cover the gamut of the hardware community. Oh, I want to say, items just worth like making sure that you check out. The new Corsair Obsidian 500D looked very stylish.
Yeah, I did like that case.
Cooler Master, they have new budget cases, which, it was really the mesh, the magnetic mesh had a really cool design on it, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah, I think those are going to be really popular. Our video on YouTube, I think it's, that might be the most popular video from CES as far as
the Q300L and 300P.
Yeah, I think a lot of people really like those because a lot of people are building budget PCs. So
mm-hmm.
I think the price points are 30 and 40 or 40 and 50, I forget.
Cheap.
So, yeah. Yeah,
very, very cheap, very and cheap. And stylish. That's kind of the thing too. The outside looks good, and I mean that's kind of in a budget build. You're not probably doing the RGB madness. So if the outside looks good, you're probably good to go.
Yeah. What else we see? Corsair also had their new wireless lap board.
Right.
So if you are gaming in the living room, they have that kind of all ready to go. Gone completely wireless this year, which was really cool to see. MSI had their new optics monitor that has the RGBs on the front that you can control to show, like,
cool. That was pretty cool.
To show ammo and health or whatever it may be in your game. I thought that was really, really cool. And it's a really nice display as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There would we be remiss if we didn't talk about the NVIDIA monitor that everybody's already talking about?
Yeah, the NVIDIA
65-inch display.
65-inch display.
What 4K,
4K, 120 hertz, HDR, basically yes. A gaming monitor that's 65 inches. They call it, yes. What were they calling, like high something gaming, or I forget what they were actually.
Oh, I don't remember.
Their
catchphrase.
Yeah, their catchphrase for it. But it was large format gaming, that's what they were calling it.
Yes, yes.
And you played on it, I played on it. It's awesome. It's basically at the right distance. It was really great to game on, and
We played what do we play?
Destiny.
Destiny, and it was smooth. It was flawless. I mean, I'm sure the PC was. It was an Omen HP Omen build. I'm sure it was more than enough power.
Yeah, and in the NVIDIA suite, I'm pretty sure it was running on Titan.
It might have been in a couple of TIs, 1080 TIs.
Yeah, but
flawless though at 65 inches and smooth and buttery, and the colors were great. So.
Yeah.
I mean, if any of you have ever tried using your PC on a large TV in the past, you know that it doesn't look right.
Yeah,
it just doesn't look right.
Yeah, it may look good, but it's not going to look like your gaming monitor. It had a 1 ms response time as well.
That's pretty big.
You know, so the thing with this display is NVIDIA's making the technology behind it, and then the companies will come out with it. So HP will have one. Asus or ROG will have one, and I believe Acer. There was three that will be their launch partners. I believe Acer is the third one.
I forget. I got pictures.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and each one with their own case design, essentially.
Yeah,
so
NVIDIA Shield is built into the display as well.
Right.
Not only do you have the functionality of just a normal gaming or normal display. With Shield, you basically have an Android box in there doing, you know, all your streaming, Netflix streaming, you know, and it's all streaming in 4K.
Yeah. So it's basically, it's the smartest TV you can get, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I've never used a smart TV that works as well as Shield.
Yeah.
So, and that allows you to use controller too, so.
Yeah, you know, right on there. And what else? I just think the HDR was really good from what they showed us, obviously.
Yeah.
They should as well.
HDR is sort of gimmicky to me. I'm probably pissing people off by saying that, but it just feels like display settings that are turned up. But it looks good. Can't argue with that.
Yeah, so it's like I said, if you've ever gamed in front of a normal TV and then gamed in front of this, this feels like a monitor, which obviously if you're a PC gamer, that's the feel that you want. So
I was listening to a different podcast, and they were talking about this, and they were really hating on it. And I'm like, you're not getting it. It's not. It's a 4K monitor, is what it is.
Yeah, a 65-inch inches. Yeah, 4K. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is.
You're not. You don't. They're like talking about, oh, it's too big or what. It's because you want to sit back from it. You want to sit 10 feet from it, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the point.
Yep.
So. Yeah, there's a place for this, and there are people that want this. This replaces your TV and your monitor for some people that are in a space situation that don't, you know, you have to choose. So this is the best of both.
Yeah, and I think that it will sell. I think that there's definitely a market for it.
It will be expensive.
Yeah, it's going to be very expensive, but it gives you all of the PC gaming features you want that you won't find in any other display.
Yep.
You're just not going to, so... Yeah, that was really cool to see as well. I think that's, like I said, trying to go through all of our notes.
That's pretty much the major things.
Yeah, those were like the real big things that we saw.
Major minor things, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Other little things. It's definitely worth going through. We have a whole section on the website of CES 2018 content. It's definitely worth going through here and seeing, because we're not hitting everything, of course. We get a lot of content up. But
So there's a ton of content up. Definitely there's a tab on the top of the page you guys can check out and go through pretty much everything that we covered. So a lot of cool stuff there. Definitely worth checking out. But like I said, this year was just not... I don't know.
When people were like, what's the coolest thing you've seen at CES so far? It was like...
Yeah.
And that was basically the answer. we saw the Razer, what was the laptop? Project Linda. We saw
Project
that.
Linda.
Obviously.
That didn't excite me.
Heard about that.
Yeah. Got to see it. I think it's cool. I think that, one, there's limitations to it because people want to be productive, and for a lot of people, not their market of a gaming phone, but a lot of people, like people who have iPhones or people who have just normal Android phones, that's their device. They do everything on that. A lot of people don't have laptops anymore. They just don't. Or they don't even have PCs anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just do email, Facebook, social media. You can do everything on your phone now.
Because the phone is what the PC used to be to people.
Yeah. And with this device, you just kind of put it into where the touchpad goes, and it has a display and a keyboard, right? It's basically an accessory for a phone.
Yeah.
And it, you know, Razer's doing it with their Razer phone. Only works with their Razer phone. But if we see an adoption of this and that becomes popular, maybe we will see
Chromebook version.
Yeah, or something, you know what I mean? That would work with the Pixels, because I think that, again, a lot of people do want that keyboard.
I do. People,
yeah. For me,
I'm much more productive with the keyboard.
Yeah, I'm so much more productive with the keyboard. Adding a screen, they said it had a battery in there as well. Like, you know, there's just gives you an extra USB port. They were showing, Razer was showing it playing a game with a keyboard and mouse. You know,
it's just an option. It's another thing that a lot of people are going to call a gimmick, but it's just an option for some people that do need something like this.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So yeah, I think that that was cool. I think that because it only works with the Razer phone, it's extremely limited. You know what I mean?
There you go. You just, however many Razer phones you've sold, then take what, maybe 10% of that number, and that's how many of those that you can possibly sell.
Or maybe even lower. Yeah. But it is, I think, the first time we've seen something like that. So if, again, you know, other companies see that, okay, well, let's make one. You know, like a major...
like a Samsung or a Google.
Samsung or Google or just, you know, Apple even. Yeah, Apple even. I don't see Apple doing it, but no. Even a, you know, like a Dell, right? Okay, this works This works with smartphones this size to this size, and it gives you a little shell. You know what I mean? Like something like that.
Yeah, or say rather than using the touchscreen from the phone as the trackpad, the phone just installs into it, and it has its own trackpad, right?
Yeah, or something like that. I think, you know, phones are powerful enough these days to do that. And, so I think that was cool. I think that, again, it's just limited, so it didn't make it as exciting.
It was interesting to see, basically.
Yeah, very cool to see. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think if we saw anything else.
That's it for me. I mean, some new AIOs, but we'll review them and you'll hear about them then.
Yes, yes. That kind of wraps up our CES stuff. Like Derek said, we have our full section there you guys can check out and kind of really see all the stuff that we covered. And obviously, we've had a lot of great feedback on the videos as well. New video rig this year, so I think we did a good job with video.
Yeah. Totally a different format for us. We all rolled this, like, basically one team to every meeting this year. So that was... Mm-hmm. Had the squad when we rolled in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time. And... I think things went well. We got content up rather quickly. Because we do, the camera we shoot with is 4K, but we shot everything in 1080p because uploading to 4K would just, things wouldn't get up, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Issues there.
Yes. So, that one.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Never mind. No,
go ahead.
Don't worry about it. I was just going to comment on the terrible connectivity at CES, but everybody knows there's terrible connectivity.
Yeah, it's hard to find a good internet connection. Shout out to Ryan. It was his first year at CES, and he brought
it's a mobile hotspot.
Mobile hotspot that really helped us out because
very much.
It was much faster than our hotel's internet connection. So,
yes. In fact, like, our internet connection this year was even much worse than
previous years. Yeah, which was surprising. Like, it just goes horrible. Down every year. Huge shout out to Ryan. He did an awesome job as well. I think our whole team really crushed it this year. We say it's a year away, but that's a lot of time. But I'm always excited to go to CES. So,
yeah, and always excited to leave when it's over.
Yeah, it's, you know, that, like, a week in Vegas just in general is way too long to be there.
Yeah.
So,
keeping that hustle up is difficult.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. So we'll talk about what we have coming next week. We have two reviews coming up, probably more. Just all depends on what all gets done. But first, we're taking a look at a nice little speaker system from Logitech. It's their MX Sound 2.0, as you can guess by the name. It is a 2.0 sound system. Just two speakers, no sub or anything like that. Really nice design, something that's going to look good on your desk. I've been using these for about a month now, and the sound is actually good. It's really good, and these will connect. It's to pretty much anything. They also feature Bluetooth, so you can connect your phone really easily. And they use this really cool Bluetooth handoff, kind of that. Like if I'm listening on my device with Bluetooth and you want to connect, it's like seamless. Like it's not this big thing that happens with a lot of Bluetooth devices. And it's $100. They're $100 set of speakers that look really good. They have like a circular design.
Looks like it's is it rear ported or is that actually a separate speaker?
I'm not sure if that's a separate speaker or not.
It's at least ported out the rear, so
Yeah, it's ported out the rear,
that would
yes.
attribute to some of the sound quality for sure.
Yeah, so sound really good, work really well, and the Bluetooth features, like, so many speaker systems just like don't have Bluetooth, and it's like, oh, my friend's here, he wants to let me listen to this or whatever. Like, let's throw on something, and it's just hard to do. And this just solves that problem. And it, like I said, the Bluetooth technology that's baked into these is really good. And they have touch sensitive controls that light up only when your hand is near, which like
Perfect.
yeah, it's just a cool setup. So yeah, so we'll have that, and then we'll be checking out the Patriot Viper V570 and V570 Blackout Edition gaming mice. Basically, two of the same mice, just different versions. The Blackout Edition's like all black. The other edition's a little bit di different. But Patriot, this one has a lot of buttons on it. I wouldn't say it's necessarily an MMO mouse, but a ton of buttons on this, especially on the left side there.
And the ridge
And
there.
yeah, so it's a really interesting mouse. And I th this is gonna be an interesting review. Ryan's doing this one, but Patriot did, they impressed us with their gaming keyboard. It was a nice, really nice gaming keyboard. So we'll see how this mouse does. Obviously it's RGB, there's some RGB baked into it. That's just, what you get these days. But look, there's removable weights. I think that they've really, this is one they took, put some time into.
Yeah, it looks a little cluttered, but it also looks like it's probably highly functional.
Yeah, so we've seen these. I reviewed, I think the one Rocket mouse I reviewed was really cluttered, but then it just became functional after I used it for a while. So this one has 13 programmable keys, which is a lot. So we'll see. So Ryan's checking that out, and that's what we'll have for this upcoming week. We might have some more stuff as well. So definitely stay tuned. A lot of cool stuff coming. Obviously, you're starting out the year, and we have a lot of products coming in as well. So cool stuff.
Nice.
And we just talk about if we did anything cool this week as far as tech goes.
Watch Blade Runner 2049.
Was that good? I had thought about watching that.
You have a good surround and video setup?
No.
Maybe not. It's I mean it'll probably still be good, but like a lot of it was like the picture and the sound were pretty astounding.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean the story is pretty simple, so I mean there's a little bit to it, but it's very I don't know. It's very effects driven, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure.
But I also managed to finish the first video game for myself in like 3 or 4 years, so I finished Wolfenstein 2,
Nice.
so I can stop talking about playing that.
Nice. Well, it's good to
Pretty
see you
cool.
actually finish a game.
Yeah.
Because you kind of quit PUBG, even though you don't really finish that game. But,
You know, I definitely rage quit PUBG.
yeah, you rage quit PUBG, and you play Battlefield 4 forever. Or was it 3?
No, it was 4. Yeah.
4. So, yeah, well, that's good. I haven't completed a game in a very long time, I don't think.
I don't think a lot of people do because so many games come out that you move on to the next one.
Yeah.
But it's a good feeling to actually finish the game
I had
and
planned
check it off.
on the free, remember the free Assassin's Creed game that we talked about a few weeks ago that
Black
they were
Flag.
giving, yeah, Black Flag. I plan on starting that, and I will probably play that to the finish because I love those games.
I don't know if you will.
I don't know. Time wise,
it's probably
50
hours.
Yeah, that's a long time for me. Or but longer. I planned on getting into that whenever I get back from my trip.
Nice.
So yeah. But for me, tech wise,
does it count that we went all over San Diego shooting video and photo?
I guess that counts. Yeah. So so we left Vegas and we went to San Diego.
Saturday.
Yes. Because our buddy Jack lives here. And Derek was here for what, 2 days?
3 days. Sunday, Saturday to Tuesday.
Yes, I am still here, and Derek and I had a really great time because being in Southern California, there's a lot of great things to shoot as far as video and photo wise. So we did a lot of that.
A lot of great light too.
Yeah, a lot of great natural light to shoot. So I'm still here. Still doing a lot of vlogging related stuff. I did release the first day of the vlog from CES. If you guys want to check that out, that's on my personal YouTube. Just search Bob Buskirk. You guys can find that. A lot of funny stuff in that one.
A lot of good behind the scenes what it's like at CES.
Yeah, and I'm almost done with the second episode, which shows when the power went out. We didn't talk about that.
Oh,
the power
went
out.
We forgot.
We have to talk about that. So we're in our meeting with Intel. They're showing us the new NUC, the one with the Vega.
Hades Canyon.
Hades Canyon. And literally just finished the meeting, and we're saying, you know, thanks for showing us this. And
we had just finished handshakes.
Yeah, literally just finished handshakes and everything. And and we're like, what? And being that it's
pause, wait for screams.
Yeah, waiting. You know, this convention center. We're just waiting for it just to come back on. Like, oh, somebody pressed the wrong button, right?
Yeah.
Power doesn't come back on. We wait like 15 minutes. Power does not come back on.
We went on the catwalk and everything.
Yeah, so we're in the Intel. Intel always has an amazing booth, and they have like an upstairs set for meetings, and you know, it's nice because they get you up the show floor and they can actually show you products and everything. So we're like upstairs, and off of the meeting space, there's like a catwalk that overlooks the show floor. And we're like
Intel's presentation area and everything.
Yeah. And walk on the catwalk, and it's just like a really weird scene to be an electronics show, the biggest electronics show in North America, obviously.
In the world.
In the busiest hall. Central Hall is the busiest hall as well. And just for there'd be no power, no lights are on, and just like no sound or anything, because when you walk into these halls, there's all these presentations going on and everything, so it's a lot of sound and everything. It's just nothing.
You're just moving from like sound zone to sound zone, basically.
Yeah, and it was just wild.
Yep.
You know,
pretty crazy. I was definitely like waiting for like, you know, people to start rushing the door and stuff, but it stayed pretty calm, actually.
Yeah, it stayed pretty calm. They eventually, they said what caused it was flooding, right?
Yeah, it had to do with the rain. They were trying to say that, I believe it was a transformer, like a substation went down or something due to the rain.
Yeah, but power was out for about, what, 2 hours, 2.5 hours?
Yeah. We did some wandering around in the dark.
Yeah, we, there's a, like I said, this next vlog that comes out, we, kind of walked around the show floor in the dark, which was very interesting.
This is my favorite show floor experience that I've ever had, by the way.
Yeah. You know, and I've been going to CS for 12 years, and I have never seen the power go out or anything remotely like that. So it's just super cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
And you'll see that in the next coming episode. So that will wrap it up. Really cool, like I said. Cool CS experience this year, just for power going out and all that. So we will have our full show notes page that covers everything that we talked about, giving you links to everything. So if you want to read more or check it out, you can go ahead and do that. If you want to find us, it is Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting software. So until next week, catch you guys later.